Welcome to The Goal is Whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ. Series 1, focus on identity. Who am I? Study W2, Sons of God.
So in the previous study, we started this topic of new identity and saw that our new identity in the new creation is in Christ. And so we derive most of our understanding of what our new identity is from who he is, because we've been placed into him in the new creation. We also saw that key passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about how we've become a new creature and old things have passed away and new things have come. But how that's really referring to the spirit man on the inside of us that's been recreated. And it's been recreated in God's own nature. And that's really the basis of everything in the new creation. But we're going to take it a step further in understanding this identity that we have in this study, looking at the sons of God. That's our identity. Having been born again, it makes sense that we are a child of God. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." That's what we get through the new birth. Now, I can imagine some of the ladies listening to this might feel, well, that should say sons and daughters of God. But, you know, tracking where we were on the first study about how our identity is really taken from being in Christ, he is the son. And so our identity is sons. But it's not really a gender issue, as Paul goes on to explain in Galatians 3 in verses 28 to 29. He says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." So you see that being a son of God, you can be a male or a female. It's a slightly different way of looking at it, but there's no distinction. This is a spiritual reality of sonship. But it's more than that. If we continue reading Galatians 4 verse 7, "Therefore you are no longer a slave but a son." Okay, I think we've got that. "But if a son, then an heir of God." Romans 8:29 tells us that we are siblings of Jesus, that he's the firstborn among many brothers. And in Romans 8 verse 16 to 17, it says this, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." Isn't this incredible? Like, if you consider where we are in the fallen creation, in our lostness, before the new birth comes, before the new creation comes, and how there is this amazing, incredible transformation of identity, where we haven't just been like saved by the skin of our teeth, but we've been reformed, recreated into a new creation with a new identity that puts us right into royalty. Right in, we are part of the royal priesthood, the New Testament tells us. We're in the family of God. We're children of God. And we're fellow heirs with Jesus. Can you imagine? This new identity is really remarkable. You know, we couldn't live in fellowship with God in the old creation. It needed the new to come. And you can see how intimacy is so, I want to say easy, maybe simple is a better word, I don't know. But like if we're co-heirs with Jesus, like we're in the inner circle. So when we're pursuing union with Jesus and we are wanting fellowship with him, we want to walk closely with him, it's much easier, simpler, more at hand than we might imagine because of our identity as sons and co-heirs. As we carry on reading in Galatians over in chapter 4, there's another revelation around this sonship thing that we don't hear many people speaking about, I don't think. It's quite an interesting concept. You know, if you become a child, then you accept the fact that you've got two parents, you've got a mum, you've got a dad. And in this new identity, it's wonderful that we can refer to Abba, Abba Father, our dad, our father in heaven, who is God the Father. And, you know, we're born into his family, we're born of him, so we draw from that nature. But what about the mother? You know, and you might think, well, it's a spiritual reality, we don't really have a mother. But Paul says we do. Let me read it. Galatians 4, verse 22 to 26. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, being children who are to be slaves. She's Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. Now listen to this, verse 26. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. So we are children of the Jerusalem above. The Jerusalem above is a covenant. It's a covenant of freedom. And it comes from this picture of Isaac, the son of promise. Isaac was the son of promise because Isaac came through Sarah. Sarah was the mum, and she was past childbearing age. So it was a miracle of God that came through promise. And in a sense, Jesus is the son of promise too, right? Because he came through this work of the Spirit. And then we come through promise because it's through the gift of God. It's not a work of the flesh. It's something that we receive by the grace of God, which is really remarkable. So what we're seeing here is that we have God the Father as our Father. But in the sense of having a mum and a dad, Paul says that this covenant of freedom is our mother. And Jesus spoke about this covenant when he initiated the communion at the Passover, at the Last Supper, when he picked up the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." And we are children of that covenant. That covenant is our mother that has caused us to be born into this new creation life. So our DNA, our genetics are God the Father and the covenant of freedom. The covenant that was sealed in the blood of Jesus. So this is really, really wonderful. Paul goes on in Galatians 5 verse 1. Yeah, thinking about this covenant of freedom that is our mum and we take our nature from that. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Then he says, "Therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Because we are sons of the covenant, because we are sons of freedom, Christ has set us free, and the goal is that we walk in freedom. So this is part of our identity. Our identity in the new creation is to enjoy and experience that freedom that we have in Christ. Notice that Paul says the goal here is not that we gain this freedom or that we reach out and grasp this freedom, but that we keep standing firm in it. We need to maintain it. We need to keep ourselves in that place of freedom. It's not our place to fight to gain it, but our place to maintain it. Paul goes on to explain what kind of freedom this is. It's not a freedom to do as we please. He says like this, "You are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." That's Galatians 5:13. So he's got this picture of the one another, the community of believers, the group identity of the dwelling place of God, where because of the freedom we can flow together as a unit. And then out of that, we anticipate, as he goes on to say later in Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are fruits of the new covenant sonship that we've come into. This is our identity. This is what we can walk in because we've been made into this glorious new creation in Christ.
The goal is whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ.